Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Outsiders, or should I say Mark and Zach at The Outsiders. That's both of us. That's me, Mark, and him over there, Zach. Hi, Zach, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you. Good to be back again for another week of chatter and, we don't talk for a week, obviously. We talk for less than that, but it's lovely to be back anyway.
You don't get out much, Zach, do you? Neither of us do. That's the problem.
Definitely.
Anyway, we're back.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I've just been on holiday, back from that. And I needn't have bothered because where I am, up in the Belfry, up here, and outside, it is as hot as it was wherever I went. So,
So you're currently cooking as we're recording.
I am frying. The word I frying.
And I've shut the windows. I'm actually upstairs as well. Funnily enough, I'm in the bedroom. And I've had to shut the windows because children are playing in their gardens and that we don't like that.
We can't have that, can we?
No, they're having too much fun. So, I'm boiling as well, which is lovely.
Well, let's move on, shall we? Today's episode is focusing on the impact of an outsider's personality on relationships and using... as a follow-on, if you like, from last week, using the concept of outsiders as characters in stories. So what we're trying to do in a roundabout way is talk about the impact of relationships, being an outsider, using some of the characters that we're about to embark on or use today as an example of how being an outsider isn't an easy thing in terms of relationships. In a nutshell. And with that in mind, why don't we kick off with a character that we were discussing prior to the pod today. And that's someone we both have an affiliation with, and that is the Dark Crusader, Batman.
Batman, of course. Yeah. Well, Batman, he's been going around for years, isn't he? Doing the deed for the good of Gotham City, he's gone through various phases, hasn't he? But most recently, I suppose for the last 20 years since, I don't know when the Batman came out, the Michael Keaton one. I remember seeing it at the cinema. That's when it went a bit darker again and sort of went back to him being this sort of lone warrior, which is very much what we're discussing today, because that lone hero. Is the outsider. He's very much the outsider in Gotham City, where he's set. And he's kind of adopts two personalities, neither of which has a sort of connection to the world that he's in, which I find quite interesting, actually.
And I think that is the interesting point, where the juxtaposition of his sort of multiple personality range, where he's got one or two characters and they both try and adapt into the world that they cohabit or they exist in and can't find their way in either.
No, exactly. I mean, one is the billionaire, isn't he? Who pretends to be the playboy because that's how he feels he needs to fit in. And then obviously in the other one, he's the... he's Batman, who is going out on his own in the middle of the night. I don't know how he sleeps. When does he get to sleep? That's all.
I think he sleeps upside down, doesn't he?
Does he? And it's the same with the toilet question. You never see heroes going to the toilet.
True enough, Zach. But let's move on from that. And let's try and think about how, because we're talking about relationships here and the complexity of relationships anyway in people's lives, because they're not straightforward. How does Batman, and maybe we can come up with a couple of others, because the idea of this using characters, as we did in the last week's pod, is that, as I was saying previously, that outsiders are the protagonists, both in terms of the people creating them and the characters themselves, which indicates there's a lot of outsiders out there.
Yeah.
And if Batman, we were just to use as an example, how is his world in terms of relationships?
It seems to be quite hit and miss. He, because he's not comfortable with himself, it feels, it's certainly in the comics and also in the films, he doesn't seem to have he seems unable to break down the barriers that he's created in order to have a meaningful relationship with somebody that he loves, or even with well, he hasn't got any family, has he? And the story is that his father and mother were murdered, which then creates a whole sort of world of isolation, I suppose it is. He doesn't, there's that trust issue, which then would be indicated in his billionaire lifestyle, where people are after him for his money, so then he can't trust them for that as well. And it's sort of, it's depicted very well in most of the films, and the Christian Bale ones as well, where he isn't able to trust anyone. He can only trust himself. And I think in one of them, he even becomes a recluse. He sort of parks himself in behind his in his house.
But in terms of, let's say, romantic relationships, there's a lady that knows him and pretty much his understanding of who he really is anyway, and he's close to her and has been for a long, long time. So the trust issue is there, but he can't commit to her. So this is another key word in this dialogue. And without making it a Batman special, because we don't want to do that, it's just interesting that while we were talking last week, we got kind of quite a bit of feedback actually about developing this a bit further because it interested people. And Batman was the character that sort of came to both of our minds. Because actually, as you just said, we've got the trust issue in terms of interaction with people, whether they're after him for his money or they genuinely want to connect with him. And romantically, even someone who's really very, very close to him can't really get the commitment from him. And the guy that knows is the, if you like, the middleman with all of this is his butler, who knows him through everything. And he's the only one he can relate to. And even then, sometimes not. So it's kind of an interesting.
It's psychological, isn't it? It's a psychological person that this thing that he's got, this trust issue, and this, it's almost like he wants to let go, especially with the romantically, but he's just psychologically unable to, which I think is different because we were also discussing James Bond as well, weren't we? And it's, I think that's a contrast to James Bond. His doesn't feel to me like a psychological thing. His is more that's the role he's employed to be.
I don't know. I think it's actually very similar to Batman. I think he's got, again, two personas. One that is work mode, and protecting, so physically and emotionally protecting from everything that comes at him. But also because he's playing a role which actually takes up most of his life. The real James Bond, we don't really get, there's only a certain, I think, a couple of stories where we actually get into who he really is. And therefore, no one can get close to him. This is very similar to Batman, actually, I find. Again, we've got someone who's got to feed off two different fronts. One is being sort of shot at, trying to be killed and seducing women, all as part of the game. And then there's the other side of him, which is a bit like the Dark Knight, really. He doesn't want to let anyone close to who he really is.
It's the
Now, if we
guard,
just,
isn't it? Yeah.
sorry.
Letting his guard down, I suppose. It's
Well,
that trust issue again, isn't it?
So I was going to say, if we can take all of those elements from those characters, because they're more dark, we can also open that up to the opposite side, the converse side of that. Because there's obviously not just dark characters, there's also quite light ones as well, which have the same issues. Can you think of any that come to mind?
The one that immediately came to mind was Robin Williams's character in Mrs. Doubtfire, where he's the estranged father, who can't seem to get on with the mother, but he loves his kids dearly. So he creates this persona of a children's, well, it's a nanny. She becomes a children's nanny or something, doesn't he? And which then, of course, everyone starts to love.
He
It's
does
him.
that so he can connect. saw that. Whoops. The microphone just
walked. The microphone off. Just
bring it back. This is all part of the technical hitch.
Look at that. Smoothly done. Nobody would, I'll cover for you. Nobody would have known.
We're human beings. But with the Mrs. Doubtfire, he takes on this role in order to be close to his kids, right? Which is the whole reason he's doing that. But he's also an actor, right? So he can do that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Which makes it kind of double interesting. He's got, again, the persona of an actor, then the persona of a dad.
Yeah.
And the only way he can communicate with him is as another persona.
Yeah, the difference between that character and the other two, I suppose, is that that's a choice he makes through love, isn't it? He's doing it through love, whereas the other two, James Bond is doing it through, is it necessity? Because that's what he's employed to do. He's been...
No, this is what I was saying. We don't know the story, or at least right here and now, we haven't
background
stumbled on it. Someone who's a specialist might really know that, but we don't know his growing up story. We don't know his real background. So he has got a very dark past that is unclear. And obviously he has fitted into this role because it basically nicely sort of suits him that he
can suits his personality. Yeah.
And
certainly with Batman, he's hiding as well. It's a shield, isn't it, that goes up. Whereas Mrs. Doubtfire is similar, I suppose. He's putting on this costume to be somebody else. But the intention behind it is the complete opposite of those sorts of other, that a superhero like Batman. I'm loathe to call Batman a superhero because he's an ordinary person. He doesn't have superpowers. He just has the means to create all this stuff.
Well, what we talked about though is that they actually evolve and develop as human beings in terms of their ability. They become very good at something, you see. Now there's another key lesson in that, which we're sort of saying, is these guys focus exclusively on self-defense, protection, emotionally and physically, you know, and therefore they become really super hot at this. Now, whilst we're talking about this and people who are listening going, I don't really want to hear about Batman and James Bond, we're doing really, because actually when we look at life in reality, whilst, you know, Zach and I are sort of opening the closet, so to speak, in the sense that we are saying we're outsiders. We also live very similar lives to the characters, unintentionally, but through the backgrounds and experiences, life experiences have taught us, as it were, to be self-protective. And I mean, I don't think you need to necessarily just be an outsider to be that. But I think it's the parallel we're making here.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a complicated situation to let the guard down, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
As you use the word trust a lot, sort of just let it all out and say, this is who I am.
It's the trust is the thing, isn't it? And there's things that have happened in the past for many of us that have have built that barrier and broken that trust, and which is why we, you know, that we use the logo in our thumbnails and things is the masks, isn't it? The theatre masks, which is, a lot of us put on a mask in order to feel that we have the confidence to approach people and to be successful in particular things or something. We don't.
But it's not the success. I think it's the opening up. The ability to open up. I don't think the success is actually, we've also discussed that, is absolutely a side thing, and it's also completely subjective.
Yes.
But in terms of actually being open enough and comfortable enough in our own skin to say, okay, this is, you know, me.
It's having the confidence to do that, isn't it?
Yeah. And again, parallels and relationships. So when you were talking about Mrs. Doubtfire, I was suddenly thinking about my relationship with my daughter, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking, my goodness, I've had to jump through hoops and do all kinds of things outside of my comfort zone. In fact, you talked about entertaining the kids. Well, I've done that with my books, with my daughter, right? So that's a way of bringing myself close and redeveloping a bond. And something I'm immensely proud of and very excited, because it's creative, it's connective, it's all about building a bond and relationships and trying to be who I really am with somebody who knows me, you know, as a dad. And so again, this is another kind of relationship. And you've done similar things, right?
Yeah, very true, actually. Just you saying that, as when I split up and I left the family home and left my children there, I was very worried about losing that connection that you build up. I mean, my children were 5 and 3, I think, when I left. So they were quite young, but I was worried that they would, you know, I would disappear from there. So I did a lot of things in order to try and stay within their psyche, one of which, like yourself, I wrote a book and I had their input with it. They didn't write it, but they gave me ideas and characters to put into it and sort of engage them that way. Because it's like yourself, I wanted to open up my creative side again that I felt I'd lost touch with. And I didn't like the sort of logical person I was becoming. I wanted that sort of realism. I liked the imagination and felt more alive within that environment. But it's scary again, isn't it? You're changing your life. You're flipping things upside down. And it's like shaking one of those snow globes. Sometimes you don't know where things are going to land and who is going to remain in your circle.
And that's why we flick it back to these characters who are very much in control of everything. They don't want to have to deal with the consequence of something going wrong. It's, you know, it's that they're very organized, they're very together, they have a plan. Whereas let's say what we're talking about is something about being human and realizing, you know, the issues, the mistakes, the challenges, whatever it is, and having to try and rectify them. These guys don't let that happen.
No.
So there's, you know, the difference in that. Just want to throw over to you. Didn't you have a quote about a really good quote?
Yes, I did. Yeah. So Batman said, this is a Batman quote, "It's not who I am underneath, but what I do that defines me," which I think sums up the character, but also is very true for all of us, isn't it? We're not going to be putting on a cape and a dark costume, but
only on Wednesdays.
Only on Wednesdays, absolutely. But it is our actions do define us. You know, sometimes whatever we're feeling, we don't have to act on our thoughts. We have a choice in all of that. We have a choice in how we react to everything. And coming at it from a place of love, like Mrs. Doubtfire, perhaps, can reach a happier conclusion to things like that. That's the quote of the day from
good
Mr.
way,
Batman.
Good way for us to move on.
Yes. Now. Yes. I've got some, I wanted to share some lovely feedback we've had actually on our social media pages. We've had some wonderful comments, and thank you everyone for commenting on our episodes as we've been going through. We've had a wide array. I will share but some, but certainly, we've had a lovely comment from Danny, who's in Sussex. "Great insight, guys. Another interesting video." That was watching our YouTube video. Vanessa, from Wellbeing Media, "Love how you two keep bringing up the topic of sensitivity and the reality of outsiders. Listening to you is like listening to my soul family. Thank you," which I think is lovely. Wow. It shows we're on the right track. We're on the right path. And, you know, the more we keep opening up with these sorts of subjects, I think the more we can help people and share our audience wide. We've also had some lovely comments from Nick in Shanghai, from James in Edinburgh, and from Anna in Vancouver. So we are
spreading the gospel.
Spreading the gospel. And Mark, I think, haven't you researched into where we are reaching to?
We've got some really interesting, I've been looking on sort of stats pages. It's quite fascinating to see where we are actually reaching and people are downloading what we're doing. It's utter madness, but as people are enjoying it, you know. But there's some great places here. I'm going to try and read some of them, but we have someone in Mississauga in Ontario. I've been to Ontario, but I can't pronounce that at all. Got people in my manor, which is in Coventry, Warwick, and Birmingham. People in Brussels, Karlsruhe in Wittenberg in Germany. We've got Helsinki. Villa Bonn in the Rhone, that's Germany. Weng in Bavaria. I've never heard of that one before.
Wow, brilliant.
Las Vegas, that's good. Blimey. To know.
Maybe we could do a show there.
And there's quite a few, but there was one that there's a couple that, Castroville in Texas. It sounds like some film set.
It does.
Napier, Western Cape. And
I know that one.
Yeah, and I'm just, now this one was the intriguing one. Gangster, Västra Götaland County. Now, I'm guessing that's Finland or Sweden, but some really, really off the wall places here.
I hope you pronounced it correctly.
That we're getting out to these parts of the world. I mean,
it's amazing.
We have London, Paris, you know, we've got all the ones which have got some interesting places. So what I'd love, really be fascinating, is for those of you who are interested in communicating, connecting with us, either on our YouTube channel or on Facebook, which is Hip Not To Be Square.
Yes.
At Hip Not To Be Square, which is definitely what we're about. Be great. Just put your city and share with us, because, I mean, it's fascinating seeing how we're connecting with all different parts of the world. Fascinating stuff.
The outsiders are connecting.
Yeah.
We are uniting.
It's good.
Which is brilliant.
It's good stuff.
So the outcome for today, we're nearly at the end of our episode. The outcome for today, I would say, is to head to our PDF. Would you agree, Mark?
I would agree. I think it would be a kind of interesting thing to do, if nothing else, just to sort of clarify in your own mind where you're at yourself, because this is a very simple 5-step PDF, which we constructed really to sort of give you an insight in how to live your best life. If you realize, or let's say you're aware of your condition or your state of mind or your situation, you can relate to what we're talking about, and you feel it, and yet you're not really sure or clear. If you ask for this document, which we put together, it'll give you just like an insight, if you like, and that will give you something to work with. And it's just so easily accessible. We've created it. It's there for you. All you have to do this week anyway is head over to our Facebook page and write the word. I think we've come up with relationship.
That's it.
Relationship, just write relationship. And if you want to write your city as well, that would be double.
Absolutely. Double whammy.
Double whammy. Yeah. And you will receive the PDF on return of your message to us. To your
5 family. Steps to living your best life as an outsider.
That's the baby.
That's the one. It's brilliant. So yeah, hope to see you there at on our Facebook page.
Ooh, Mr. Peebly, if that was remembered, the Hair Bear Bunch. Remember that one, Zach?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God. Anyway, I wasn't even thinking about bringing that one into the podcast. All being well, weather permitting, and any other global catastrophe not taking place between now and then, Zach and I are going down memory lane, and we are, all being well, going to meet for our next live in a very, very interesting place. We're not going to tell you right now where it is. We're going to keep it a bit of a mystery, but somewhere very famous. And we're going to do it live, and we're going to film it as we're walking in this place. So we're going to give you a backdrop, as well as hopefully some useful and meaningful insights in our next episode.
Excellent. That sounds very exciting. I can't wait to do it. And I think that's us wrapped up for this week.
Microphone is still in one piece, and I do apologize in advance for my reactive swipe as I took the microphone right off in front of me, but hopefully that hasn't destroyed the impact of the podcast or the YouTube video. Actually add a bit of drama to it, but hopefully it hasn't destroyed the impact of it.
Excellent. So I think we covered it.
So it's a goodbye from me, and it's
a goodbye from him. And we'll see you next time.
See you. Bye.